Good morning once again. Get my stuff up here. You know, as we were singing this morning for communion, Jesus paid it all. Remember my PIN number. Oh, no. Gotta love technology. Technology is always really good when it works right. Hey, there we go. Start running through them all. Now back to my thought. And when before the throne, you thought about that? When before the throne, to stand in the presence of Jesus at his throne. But then the song lays this amazing truth upon us. I stand in him complete. I stand in him complete. This life is but, I've heard pastors say, a dress rehearsal. We're getting ready. We're getting ready. And he's making us perfect. And in the process of making us perfect, he is doing an amazing work in us. And that's what we're talking about when we look at blue-collar Christianity. And this is going to be week three of our summer series in blue-collar Christianity. And the last 2 weeks have started out as James has begun this letter. The first chapter, in chapter one, how he teaches us to deal rightly with trials and temptations. That's what we've really talked about the last 2 weeks. Trials being the very first week that we discussed, and how our faith is being tested and is being strengthened God's way, as he is the one who is testing us through all these adversities that we face. And James tells us that we should go to these adversities and these trials with pure joy, because God has chosen us worthy to go through them so that he can make us just like his son Jesus. Our faith is being tested and it is grown. Last week we talked about temptation. Temptation is something that is very difficult for us. It is a problem that we all face because of our sinful nature. But James makes sure to remind us exactly where that temptation comes from. That we need to look no further than look in the mirror to find out where temptation comes from. Because we are dragged away when we take our own evil desires and thoughts and want them. We're tempting ourselves. And that's something that we have to watch out for. James also reminds us there in verse 15 that after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. But thanks be to Jesus that he always gives us a way out of our temptations. All right, now that we're a little bit up to speed, we're going to move into today's message. And we're going to finish out James 1, verses 19 through 27. So if you have your Bibles and want to follow along, feel free to pick those up and head over that direction. James begins to transition from the trials of life that we all face and the temptations that we have, and he begins to put our faith into practice, into action. Now, I like this transition because this is the practical side of our faith. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is what we call, when we look at blue-collar Christianity, what I really think of when I think of our blue-collar Christianity. How is our faith being put into action? How are we using it in the right way? When we think about a blue-collar worker, what are some of the things that you consider? When you think of a blue-collar worker, what do you think of? You think of someone who gets up every morning, who goes to their job, who grinds it out to get the job complete, and then once that day is done, guess what? They get up and they do the same thing the next day, and the day after that, and the day after that. We had a graduation party here at the church last evening, and I got to listen to Jan Horton. I sat with Jan and Dorothy, and a few of us were talking, and Jan was talking about his grandparents. He's like, you know, I don't ever remember my grandparents talking about vacation. Why? Because they never went on vacation. They worked the farm. That's what they did. They didn't leave. They had a job to do. That's blue-collar Christianity right there. That's putting our hands to the plow and getting to the work and getting the job done. Now, as we think about that, James begins to transition here in this letter to blue-collar Christianity. But you want to know something what is amazing about blue-collar Christianity? Our Christian faith is not like the world, is it? The work we do for the gospel, the work I do for the kingdom of God, number one, it is not tedious. It is not something that is repetitive. And it always brings joy. It does. It brings joy. And I'm thankful for that work each and every day. It's an honor and privilege to do the things that we do for God, and is not burdensome. Before we get into the message today, let's pray. Father, I pray that you would just come in and open up your word to us today. As we look at this idea of hearing and listening and how our faith is put into practice, I pray that you would just come in and be our teacher. Lord, we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. So in James 1, verses 19 to 21, that's where we're going to start. My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For men's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. There are many principles in the Christian life that are difficult to obey, because they go against our fallen nature. They just go against our nature. They go against the grain. And this is one of many challenging things that we obey in the Word of God. You know, if we look at this, this is one of those areas of life that I really struggle with, right? I really struggle with this one. I need to be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. How many of you have problems with that? Right? How many of us have problems with that? It completely goes against what we think to be right. We can easily fly off the handle and speak before we think. So I have this picture up here. This is a challenging one. How many of us have found ourselves in that exact situation? And that's just with our spouse, right? That's just with our spouse. It can be that way with parents, with teachers, with coworkers, with bosses. The list goes on and on and on. We can fly off the handle before we know it, and we don't think about what we're really doing. I know that I don't even have to ask the question if this has ever happened to you, because I know that it has. It's happened to all of us. And in the heat of an argument, what happens? We generally say something or do something that we completely and totally regret later on. Why does the Christian feel this regret when that happens? Because James reminds us it is not the character of God that is being displayed there. It is not the character of God that is being displayed. And God is grieved by it. We can become discouraged as followers of Jesus Christ because it doesn't represent his character. You know, could this be the reason that James bring this idea up in verse 20 about human anger not producing the righteousness that God desires? You know, there's a stark contrast between our human fallen nature and the fruit of righteousness and godly character. There is a complete and total difference in what that looks like, right? And Paul talks about this in Galatians 5, verses 16 to 26. So I say, Paul says, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your sinful nature. Kind of like what James has been talking about here in James 1, right? For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissension, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and alike. And I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like that will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is joy, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. So Paul here is right in step with what James is talking about. We're not listening to what the world is saying is right, but we're listening to God and following the Spirit as He leads us. As He leads us, our desires begin to change and be transformed. We must take out our flesh, what our flesh wants to bring out in us. We need to get rid of that because the Spirit and the flesh, they war against each other. The Spirit says, this is what you need to be doing, child of God. You need to be following after Christ. You need to be producing the fruit of the Spirit that was mentioned here in Galatians 5. You need to get rid of all that other stuff. When you fly off the handle and you get mad and you get angry, it is not what God desires. Now, I want to make sure that I am very clear here. Am I saying that a Christian should not become angry? I am not saying that at all. What's the difference between worldly, fleshly anger and righteous, godly anger? Righteous, godly anger follows after what this has to say. If you are grieved in the Spirit by what you see happening in our world today because of what this says is wrong, you are absolutely in the right. Absolutely in the right. But when I fly off the handle because of what I think someone done to me was wrong, well, is it because it was wrong or just because of the way I thought? Because of the way I think. There's a difference. I need to be following after what God says is right. And if the world is following after what He says is right and not doing what He says is right, it's okay to become angry in those situations. That's a righteous anger. Was Jesus righteously angry at times? You better believe He was. You think God is righteously angry at the way that people live their life? Heck yes, He is. They live in a sinful way, and by golly, that's wrong. So righteous anger and earthly anger, worldly anger, are two totally different things. We need to be following after what God says is right and not what our flesh says it wants. And we must submit to the will of God in everything that we do and everything that we say and be changed by it. And if we are, we're led by the Spirit. And we do our best to keep in step with Him by doing away with the evil the evil in the world or our own evil desires. We do away with those things so that God can transform us. And if we do, then we look at verses 22 through 25 of James 1. Turn back over there. James says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So James here begins to talk about how we need to be not just hearers of the word, but we need to listen and obey, right? We need to listen and obey what the word of God says. And he gives us a warning here in these verses. And we might ask ourselves, what warning does James give us here in verse 22? Verse 22 is a real warning to not just hear what the Word of God says, but take the words of truth and obey them. We can't just hear what the Bible has to say, right? If you come here on Sunday morning just to hear what the Word of God has to say, you are not doing yourselves any favors. You're not helping yourself at all. Well, I've come here to listen to the Word of God. There's a difference between listening and hearing. I can hear what the Bible has to say, right? But if I don't obey what it has to say, I have gained myself absolutely nothing. Nothing. God wants, He demands obedience to His Word. Why? Because His Word is truth. His Word is the truth. And we need to make sure that we're following after the truth with everything that we have. If I hear the words of Jesus and I don't live them out, am I, number one, am I saved? If I just hear what the Word of God says about salvation and I do not obey what it teaches me, am I saved? No, you are not. You're not saved. You are only saved through faith, and faith comes through obedience to the Word of God. And if I listen, if I truly listen, I am going to obey what it tells me to do. I put my faith in Jesus. I trust in Him. I follow. I repent of my sin, and I follow after Him all the days of my life. That is what it tells me I have to do. I can't just hear it and say, I understand it, I get it, and not live it out. If I don't live it out, I'm not being transformed and changed. The living it out is the proof. That's the proof of my salvation. And that's what James here is telling us. Don't just listen to what the Word tells me. Obey it. Trust and obey. For there's no other way, right? To be happy in Jesus. John also confirms this truth of living in obedience. Not just in hearing the truth and deceiving ourselves. So in John's first letter, in John 1, verses 2, 3 through 6, we know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commandments. Whoever says, I know Him, and does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys His word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know that we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must live as Jesus did. I need to live like Jesus and obey His teaching. Do you know that these two passages that I just read from James 1 and John 2, they speak of the truth together. We cannot just hear the words of truth and say that we love Christ. To say that I love Christ means that I obey His commands. What are His commands? What are His commands? We can look at the Ten Commandments and say that those are His commands. Jesus said, let me tell you, you can sum everything up by doing this. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. You love God first. And then you love your neighbor as yourself. You love others. That sums it all up. We love God and we love others. We walk by faith and not by sight. That's it. Those are His commands. You love people. You love them. How do we love them? We love them with the truth. In our world today, there is some unbelievable talk that Christians are very hateful people. That hate speech that you guys give. How dare you call me a sinner? I called myself a sinner first, so join the crowd. Not perfect by any stretch of the imagination. But we cannot keep speaking the truth, because guess what? It is very, very, it is very wrong of us and hateful if we don't speak the truth to people. We do that out of love. We do it out of love. we must do what the Word of God tells us, because if we don't, we allow others to believe in a falsehood, we're not doing them any favors. And when we speak the truth in love, it's evidence that Jesus is transforming us. He's changing us. And that's exactly what we have to look at today. So in James 1, 26 and 27, if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God the Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows and their distress and keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So here, as we finish up James 1 and we begin to finish up this morning, the final two verses in this chapter, in chapter 1, we must consider what James is teaching us here. Now, James mentions religion. Religion here in these verses can be a very sticky and tricky word, right? I mean, it can mean different things to different people. So when you think about religion, what are some of the things and images that come to your mind? Well, you could have a part of religion that is very strict, very constrictive, right? A very tight rein on the law, a very tight rein on what you can and cannot do, right? When we think of religion that way, that's definitely one way we look at it. Do we see that? Have we seen that in our life, and do we see it in our world today? Yes. Then you can swing all the way over to the other side of the pendulum and say that religion is very lackadaisical, that you can do whatever you want and have it your way, and that's very dangerous as well. So many times religion can be reduced to following the rules, hopefully with a good outcome, but is that true Christianity? Is Christianity about following the rules, checking the box? I'm a pastor. Pastors get picked on all the time, especially when it comes to church attendance and their numbers that they count. I do that, right? Is church attendance important? You better believe it is. Is church attendance something that will get you to heaven? No, it will not. So why do you come? Why do you come to church on Sunday morning? Why do I show up for church on Sunday morning? I show up to church on Sunday morning because I love Jesus. I want to learn more about Him. I want to do life with all of you. I show up to worship and to praise His holy name. I don't show up for church on Sunday morning because that's going to get me to heaven. How? What gets you to heaven? He does. Jesus is it. But if I don't know about Jesus, that's the reason why I come here, to learn. I come to open up the Word of God with all of you, to learn what He has to say. And to hopefully obey what He has to say, to do it. But religion can be brought down to this equation of X plus Y equals salvation. There is no equation. The only equation that you need is one. He's it, right? There's no plus in there. He's it. It's always been. The church has always been about Him, following Him, learning from Him, and that is absolutely enough. But when we think about a bold statement about religion, religion is not about checking the box. It's not about checking the box. And well, I'm there more than I'm not, so I'm good. Religion that the Father accepts is pure and faultless, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. How do we keep ourselves from being polluted by the world? Let me ask you a question. If you miss church on Sunday, how does your next week go? I can't even believe I'm going to say this. I would lay money down on this. I don't bet. I'm a sure thing kind of a guy. I would lay money on this because this is a sure thing. If you're attending church regularly and you miss a Sunday, I guarantee you your next week is not very good. It's not. Why? Because you have missed your recharge. You have missed your time spent with other fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. You have missed the encouragement that you receive from coming to church and being with people that are like-minded. You have missed this recharge from the Holy Spirit. When God's word is preached and taught, you get this recharge in you and you're ready to go and be there next week. If you miss that week, guess what? Week after, it's not very good. And if you miss the week after that, it continually gets worse. How important is church? It's very important in our life. And I hope that you understand that. And I hope that you have that same kind of want and desire to be here. I love being here on Sunday morning. I love being here on Sunday morning just to see what God's got to do, what He's going to do. But this religion that God accepts as pure and faultless is to love others, to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and keep the world out from polluting your life. Religion's not about church attendance, however it is important to the growth of the follower of Jesus Christ. It's not about how many times you pray. It's not about if I've taken communion this week or not. It's not about whether I've been baptized with water. It's not about whether you sing the hymns or contemporary Christian songs. All of these play a part in it, but guess what? It's all about a relationship with God. It's all about a relationship with God. Do I love Him? And am I going to follow after Him? Because guess what? Our relationship with Jesus is the only thing that saves a soul. That's it. Nothing else. There's no check marks on anything else. He's it. He's enough. He's enough. It is Jesus alone who saves, and through faith in Him, we have this relationship, right relationship with God. And as we're being changed and transformed, taking our faith and allowing God to act through it, we hopefully impact other people's lives. That He partners with us. We get to partner with God in transforming other people's lives. Whether that be a Sunday morning children's ministry message, which is always great. Whether that's teaching downstairs. Whether that's singing out in the pews. Whether that is giving. No matter what it is that God has called you to do and allowed you to do, we get to partner with Him as He transforms this world. And we hopefully get to impact this world with Him. That's an amazing thing. We get to see people brought to the Heavenly Father through the foot of the cross. As we're doing this work, we must keep a careful watch on our lives and doctrine. This is so important that we keep a careful watch of our lives and our doctrine, not to be polluted by the world. Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:16, watch your life and your doctrine closely, preserving them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Paul says, hey, Timothy, make sure that you are watching your doctrine and your life closely. Does it adhere to what is in this? If it doesn't, then you need to be praying and changing. Because this, everything goes through here. Watch your life and doctrine closely. And like I told our Sunday school class this morning, and I know that I've told you several times, and I will tell you again and again and again, if you hear me teach anything that is not from this, that seems strange, that seems out of line, bring it up. Let me know. It's okay. I'm not perfect. I make mistakes. I do. I make them all the time. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. But guess what? The conversations need to be had. If you don't hear, you don't believe what I'm teaching is right, then let's explore it together. Let's look at our doctrine through the Word of God and make sure that we are right. That's so important. May we listen intently to the Word of truth and apply it to our lives. That's what James is teaching us here. Don't just be hearers. Listen to what it says. Listening means obedience. May we obey what it has to say. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so very much for your goodness and your grace and your love and your mercy, and Father, for your word. And I pray that we take it to heart each and every opportunity that we have. I pray, dear Father, that through this message that you have just spoken to people, I know that you've spoken to my heart as I've been preaching this to myself as well. Lord, help me to, and help them to trust you, to listen and obey. Lord, we thank you very much. In Jesus' sweet name we pray. Amen.